This episode of Playing Doctor Podcast brought to you by Adipose. Just 2 tablets a day for 3 weeks and the fat just walks away. Adipose, at your finer pharmacist and druggist.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Jenny.
And we're Playing Doctor. Playing Doctor is our weekly podcast where we discuss the hit BBC series Doctor Who. And we have now started officially Season 2.
Yay!
There's much rejoicing. And this week, to start Season 2, well, we're kind of going to tie 2 things together. The Children in Need special, which directly ties into the Christmas invasion.
Yes.
So,
and there's probably a lot of people that haven't seen this or don't even know that it exists, so we'll post a link to
it's
the YouTube video.
It's a little 10-minute video that they did as part of the Children in Need charity. So I always feel bad whenever I watch those, because there's several of them out there, and they're usually not included on the DVDs or in the official, you know, like Netflix releases and stuff. So you have to go looking for it, and you have to look for it on Vimeo or YouTube.
Right.
And then I feel like I'm ripping off some, you know...
So donate to their
damaged
charity.
Child or something in Britain.
All the little orphan children.
Yeah, but then I don't know
Britain.
What the pound-dollar ratio is, and I don't want, you know, then the kid's ripping me off just because he's got a broke arm or something. And it's like, you know, you're not that needy, kid. Come on.
Goodwill goes a long way. You just think good thoughts about these children.
I do. I think very positive thoughts about little damaged British children. And, you know, why, you know, nanogens would help them so much.
Are you my mummy?
Exactly. Yeah, you'd have a few turn out wrong. But, you know, I leave it in the trusting hands of the NHS. And
good idea.
They have an Olympics game, so obviously there's something positive about the NHS.
Yeah. Well, you could donate. I'm sure there's a way to donate online or something
there
like that.
There is, and you can go to the BBC site, and there's usually links during that time. It's usually November, which traditionally has been the off-season for Doctor Who, which is weird because Doctor Who started in November.
So well, they keep changing it.
Well, the Children in Need thing... You know, goes back. But before we get into all that, we want to say hello to our guest this week.
Hello,
guest. Our good friend Daryl Lewis from FlyingMonkeyMotoGear.com.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
Yep. It's, what was it? Trying to think. All I remember is the Madea jokes from the last
episode. It was Father's Day episode.
Father's Day. That's right. Pete Tyler.
Yeah.
So it's
Tyler Perry.
Pete Tyler Perry.
Yeah. So it hasn't been that long.
No.
But, after the end of the season, I took a break and I haven't thought of any of it. Just shut down.
Yeah.
I'm burned out on podcasting.
You have to do that sometimes. You know, gotta regenerate.
Yeah.
Well, we actually sat and watched a movie last week, and the criteria for whatever we watched, it could have nothing to do with Doctor Who or Star Trek.
That was probably a good idea.
It's like we want something that's completely unrelated to anything that we podcast about.
I don't blame you.
Just, I need a break.
Yeah.
And you know, it's crazy because I love the shows, both of them. I have since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're doing it every week,
nonstop
and recording and editing. And
especially, I guess, if you also put a little bit of stress behind that, like, you know, trying to get all this done.
Deadlines.
It takes a little bit of the enjoyment out, you know, because you're...
I actually dreaded when I watched the episode today.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God, I gotta watch Doctor Who. And I know, I mean, of all the things to have to complain about...
First world problems.
I have to watch 4 television shows that I've spent my entire life loving. I've still got to watch 2 more episodes of Next Generation for the other podcast.
See, it's those moments you think about children in need who don't have television.
Oh, the little broken orphan children in Britain.
Or those little damaged English children.
Well, you know, they're in hospital. Don't they have televisions in hospital?
I'm sure.
So...
Yeah, but
they can watch the BBC.
They show soap operas about hospitals.
But no, the Children in Need specials come out usually in November, and it's not just Doctor Who. It's, you know, they have, it's a big,
do a big telethon or something.
Yeah, it's
right?
A big charity event to raise money for a great cause, which, you know, awesome. And Doctor Who has a long-standing connection with this, going back to, I know we looked it up, and I guess the Five Doctors from 1983, which was the big crossover. It had the first five Doctors in it, mostly. And Well, yeah, because Bill Hartnell had died by then.
Right. So who played him?
They replaced him with somebody. Like, with the three Doctors, he was, like, trapped in a vortex, and, you know, he was there, but he wasn't there. But this time they replaced him, and that didn't go over well with fans. They were like, eh, it's kind of creepy. And Tom Baker didn't want to participate at the last minute.
But he did anyway?
Well, for all the publicity photos, they actually went to, Madame Tussauds Wax Museum?
Yeah.
And got the wax dummy of Tom Baker in costume and brought it out and did all the photo shoots of the five Doctors together.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there's the Douglas Adams episode that never got finished due to the strike.
Oh, okay.
Shada. And they'd filmed most of it. But never used it because it wasn't finished. Well, they used they cut scenes from that, and that was Tom Baker's scenes in The Five Doctors.
Oh, okay.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
So he really did back out of it.
Yeah. So he did not participate.
He did not participate. Wow. They used stuff that he'd already filmed and the wax
dummy. Why didn't he participate?
He's Tom Baker. Who knows? It's just like the burning out thing. He was the Doctor for 7 years. I mean, and
he was just out of his.
This was
his
just
time
3 years after he left, so he was like, "Dude,
I can't go back there."
It's one thing for Troughton to say, "Oh yeah, I'll be back." Well, yeah, you haven't been the Doctor since 69.
Yeah,
right.
So that's a big difference than 3 years ago.
Right.
But also, though, it's part of that when they showed the five Doctors with children in need. The current Doctor at the time, this is in 83, was Peter Davison, landed the TARDIS and donated his coat.
Took the
Doctor
Who
coat.
Right off his back.
Yeah, the coat off his back to raise money for it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So there's always been, a big support, and Doctor Who has always had, like, children's charities they're happy with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not happy that there's children in need, but they're happy to help.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is cool.
So this starts off pretty much with some clips from the end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the
Daleks again and
right,
Rose.
Right, and Rose blasts them into dust. I scatter your atoms.
And then she makes out with the Doctor.
The Time Vortex make out.
Dr. Love.
Dr.
Love.
Like,
they have Paul Stanley in there.
Call in, Dr. Love.
And again, it creeps me out totally because 41-year-old Doctor with the 18, 19-year-old Rose just doesn't seem right.
But it happened.
It happened.
He's not even 40. He's like, 900?
Yeah. So he sucks the vortex right out of her with a deep kiss.
Ow!
With his magic tongue.
Oh, yeah. And then, just like the last episode ended, he belches it back up into the TARDIS and regenerates.
Yeah.
Well, we pick that up. Yeah, when we pick up in Children in Need, after he changes, he's now somebody else. And I think this was kind of a nice episode for people who weren't familiar with regeneration.
Yeah, it was a very good bridge in between. And I think I might have had a little bit less trouble dealing with David Tennant as the Doctor at this point if I had seen this.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I went right from Parting of the Ways right into Christmas Invasion.
Oh.
And I didn't see this, and I was just like, I knew that he was going to regenerate, but it still, I didn't like him. And I think seeing this now, like, looking back, I think I would have liked him a little bit better right from the start.
Okay. See, my thing is, previously I've seen regenerations not go so well.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Doctor's kind of off his character for the first, episode or two. And I think they kind of got rid of all that with this little mini episode.
Right.
So he does all the crazy hopping around and kind of goes, when he speeds through the time vortex to get Rose home for Christmas type thing. That level of crazy,
yeah.
It kept it out of the main series.
And I guess he's done enough regenerations at this point that he knows how to get it all out of his system in like 5-10 minutes, and then he's good.
Instead of Colin Baker, who lasted, I think, 2 years. His entire run.
He still didn't know who he was the entire time.
I never knew who he was.
Sort of like it's like a hangover, The more you have, the better you deal with it.
Exactly. apparently Colin Baker was a very long hangover.
It was for me. Every time I watched the episode, I felt like I had a headache and didn't want to hear anything. Oh, turn it down. Oh, jeez. Why is he wearing that coat?
Oh, the colors. Oh, it's hurt my eyes.
Why has he got cat pins on his lapel? What the hell? So, yeah, not my favorite Doctor. But this one, I think, you know, he got it all out. It's a 10-minute episode. You know, he covers what regenerations are.
Mm-hmm.
Proves that he is the Doctor. Because, I mean, Rose was standing in for us as the audience.
Right.
You're not my Doctor.
But she goes a little bit far, and she's like, you're not the Doctor. Bring him back.
Yeah.
You took him and...
Consider what she's seen at this point. And so it could have been some kind of transmat or teleportation or something.
Right.
Yeah, she really had no warning, so...
And that's what she tries to say, is like, I saw the Gelf in this ravine, and I know what things are.
Yeah, that was not even close to Rose's accent, though.
No, it slipped into like a Toki war tooth at the end, because I watched a whole bunch of Metalocalypse last night.
Okay. Yeah, okay. It's better than a later companion with Doctor!
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, I can't say her name because of spoilers, but the one who does the narration later on.
Oh.
She stresses the tour. Doctor?
See?
I've done enough. It's because she's Scottish and she can't say doctor. Doctor, get in the TARDIS. We have to go.
No.
I need my Scotch eggs.
That doesn't sound anything like her either.
I'm a ginger doctor.
Anyway.
Do you like my wet dress? It only goes up to my calf.
Oh, I thought it was Duncan MacLeod for a second. Wrong show. Sorry.
What are you looking at?
Anyway.
Let me fry something. My name's Jamie McCrimmon.
So anyway, Rose asks him if he can change back.
Yes.
And he's like,
Do
you want me to?
And she says, yeah, do it.
Yeah?
Now.
Oh, I can't. Sorry. Do you want to go home? Do you want me to?
Well, it turned into this whole awkward thing of, you know, the boy and the girl at the dance. Would you want to dance?
Well, do you want to dance?
I don't know. Do you want
to? Only if you want to.
Well, I mean, I don't want to pressure you.
I don't want to dance.
If you don't
want to
dance.
I just feel like you want to dance.
Okay, I'm going to go.
No, nobody wants to dance with me.
That's pretty much what this was. And the I want to go part was the doctor going, look, I'm just going to take you home.
Yeah.
I'm just going to land this baby.
Yeah, we'll just see what happens there.
And so he's losing his mind, and they're zipping through the vortex. And
he starts noticing something's gone wrong with his regeneration. He starts practically vomiting all over himself.
Well, regenerative energies.
Yeah.
Belching that up.
That's the glowing halitosis cloud.
I thought he was like belching up glitter. We were talking about that before the show.
Yeah, the console room.
Yeah, in the console room.
So anyway.
But this, you know, as he zips and opens up the engines and zooms toward Earth, he says something about, you know, next stop Christmas Eve or whatever, and it ends.
And then
we tie right back in
Christmas Invasion.
Christmas Invasion. Yay. So the landing that he makes at the Powell Estate is nice. TARDIS spinning out of control as she comes down, bounces off a building, hits a truck, slides into the curb.
Because he's about to pass out at this point. Because he's like, I'm hungover from regeneration.
Well, I gotta wonder, we never saw anything said about it or done, but what happened to the guy driving the truck?
I thought about that myself.
His insurance rates.
Damaged property altogether. And, you know, then it's like, okay, and that truck.
Because it was a moving truck. Yeah, it wasn't like
parked. Who took care of that? Yeah.
When he calls his insurance company, they're gonna be like, what happened?
Well, you see that blue box over there?
This police box just fell out of the sky.
Right. Wait, a what?
Sir, have you been
there? There have been police boxes since the 50s, 60s at the latest. Are you sure?
We're going to need you to take a few tests here.
And they've still got that one police box that sits next to the metro.
Yeah.
In London. So I got to think every time he gets off the tube, the metro or whatever they call it.
Is that what they call it? Getting off the tube?
The underground train. When they walk up the stairs and there's a TARDIS, you know, the police box So it activates his post-traumatic stress. And he's like, don't hit me!
Yeah. So he's gonna take a big hit on his insurance for that.
Oh, yeah. And since, you know, Britain...
Poor bastard.
Crazy laws. But at least he's in London, so they have closed-circuit TV everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So I guess they could actually see it happen.
See it happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as the perception filter on the TARDIS doesn't make them miss it.
Hmm. Yeah.
So the Doctor, you know, crashes the TARDIS. The Doctor comes stumbling out.
And then...
sees Mickey and Jackie.
Yeah, because they heard the TARDIS and they come running like they always do.
Mickey, his ears are trained for this sound.
Yes.
He's in a body shop. He works at Clancy's now.
Yeah.
You know.
He has a mouth with the big ears.
Well, Mickey.
Sorry.
Jeez.
Somebody has to make the bad jokes.
Yeah, and it's usually me. So
yeah.
Don't steal my shtick. But, no, he's in a body shop. And the guy's playing Christmas music, blasting over the radio. Like, another guy's clanging on some stuff.
Like, whoa, shut it off. Cut it down.
I hear something.
Yeah.
What? From across town. Wait. So.
Yeah. And he didn't even punch out. He just ran. He just left his job.
And those other guys probably think he's a total asshole. Yeah. You know, like, what do you mean turn down the music?
They're probably like,
why don't you tell us to turn everything down, then you leave.
Yeah. Not just leave. He ran off. Yeah.
Yeah.
He must not like Christmas
music. He doesn't like Christmas music.
What if he's like a Muslim or Jewish or something? Is he an atheist? I don't know. He's not like atheists do Christmas sometimes, right? I don't know. So that's just there at Clancy's for the rest of the night. Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe we offended him or so?
Or like, did you hear the ice cream truck?
Why are we working?
Why did he take on running like that?
Why are we working so late on Christmas Eve? Is this not a holiday, or do we get like a
happy
day?
People are getting double time.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's a body shop. I mean, do they, maybe it was a half day or something?
I don't know.
Because it was kind of early in the day on Christmas Eve, because, you know.
I guess if you need your car fixed on Christmas, you want to find a place that's going to be open, so they're going to make all that money.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And is Christmas
Eve? I hope the workers were getting double time, though, at least.
Yeah. I hope so, too.
And I hope they got a Christmas bonus.
Well, yeah. Just so you know, though, everybody participating in tonight's episode, since we're talking about a Christmas episode, we're doubling the pay.
Yeah.
So whatever you made 100%. Last time, we're doubling it, just because it's a Christmas episode.
Oh, so I'm getting paid double tonight? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what you got paid last time, double it. And
I get to go home with twice of nothing.
And less beer. So yeah.
Wait a second.
So he crashes, says hello to Jackie, and
he passes out. She probably thinks he's drunk and
doesn't
then
know
wants
who
to take advantage of him or something, because that's what she does with guys.
Oh yeah, you got a guy passed out in front of you, so she starts taking off her clothes or whatever. And he's like, no, wait, what? Wait. Yeah. He came out of the TARDIS. We don't know where he's from. Hold on.
And she's like, who is that? Mm-hmm. It's the Doctor. Doctor Who.
Opening credits.
Yeah. I hate that.
Everybody's got to make the joke.
Yeah, but it gets so cheesy sometimes.
Yeah,
and this is one of those times. That
it's
just
been
like,
a running joke, though, since the first episode.
I know.
Who are you? I'm the Doctor. Doctor Who. Wink at the camera, why don't you?
Yeah. Just the Doctor. Yeah, but this is one of those times that I just felt like it was really... kind of just slapped in there. Just
right.
Cheesy. So.
So that, you know, they get him back to Jackie and Rose's apartment, which we should might as well at this point just call Jackie's apartment, because Rose is never home.
Mm. She just keeps her stuff there, basically. Yeah.
Puts him in some pajamas and put him in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Which now brings up that
Jackie's a whore.
Well, two things here. You know, because Rose does make the connection of, wait, why do you have a man's pajamas?
Well, Howard from the market's been staying over. And he leaves his stuff there. So he's not just staying over, he's bringing stuff over.
Yeah.
And he's keeping fruits in his pockets.
Yeah, which is odd.
Well, and not only that, though.
Is that a Satsuma in your pocket? Are you happy to see me?
Well, he gets hungry at night. But the Doctor was dressed. So that means between the three of them, they had to undress the Doctor.
Somebody had to undress him.
Yeah, and put him in pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
Which may be where Billy Piper would then come up with the nickname for David Tennant.
David Tennant.
Yeah.
Hadn't heard of that one.
Yeah, heard that on Top Gear.
Yeah. Well, they were apparently dating at the time, too, weren't they?
No.
Or I thought they were dating at some point.
No.
Or dating.
No.
I'm just saying, I heard that recently.
No.
Well, we definitely know that Jackie didn't undress him.
Yeah, because she asked.
She asked the question.
Yeah, when we find out he has two hearts, she asked, well,
what else did he have two of?
Yeah.
Lungs, eyes, ears,
penises.
Long.
So he's like a Klingon. He's got redundant organs.
Well, I was thinking, you know, David Tennant, it might be 2 5s for a 10. And
that doesn't seem very fair.
No. You'd much rather have that.
Can I get change for this 10?
No.
Well, you could probably get creative with it, you know? I mean, with them.
It's, you know, I don't want to get too graphic on this because this isn't Dork Trek, but, you know, there could be DP and with just one person involved.
That's what I meant by creative. Yeah. Like, hey.
Double your pleasure, double your fun. With a Time Lord.
Okay. Well, you said it, not me. Now.
Yeah. I saved you the trouble.
So you can't blame me for bringing this show down.
Yeah. No, I've heard some of the other podcasts you've been on, and it's scary.
What?
I'm just saying. Some of the words used on the other show.
Well, it's getting close to Halloween. This will be scary.
And it's spooky scary. So,
So anyway, Rose and Mickey take off to go for a little walk.
Yeah,
because I guess they're.
Hey, mom,
to
babysit my sick friend that we just dropped in unexpectedly.
Yeah,
think of this as like a boyfriend though. If your daughter comes back, she's been traveling with a guy for the last year, and then they just crash the car across the street. He stumbles out and passes out. Right, he's had some plastic surgery or something because he doesn't look like anything he looked like last time he was in town. Probably a different dude. Because Rose just, you know, jumps in the TARDIS with anybody it drives by.
Just like her mom.
Just like her mom. And now she's going to just dump him in the spare room.
Yeah, it's some
strange
guy's pajamas.
And go, hey, me and my other boyfriend are going to go run around town for a little while.
And I really feel bad for Mickey. Because he does wait for her, and he goes running for her when she comes back into town. And then she's really kind of cold to him.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he says something like, oh, why don't you tell me some more TARDIS stories? I love it.
Yeah. Remember the time the TARDIS landed on this planet and we did some adventures and stuff? Oh, yeah, everybody loves that, Rose. Keep talking.
Yeah. And he says, oh, you can rely on me. I don't change my face.
Yeah. I thought that was a great line.
And she doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know, did it just go over her head or does she have no response?
She doesn't care.
She doesn't care. Okay.
Like, it's the same as when they were dating before the doctor. Mickey babbles on about some shit, and she just kind of, whatever. And then they go on to the next date.
Mm-hmm.
No, she just continues to lead him along, because she does a little bit later as well.
Mm-hmm.
When he asks her, you know, do you love him? She doesn't answer him.
Right.
She just, like, leans her head over, you know.
Yeah. Let me just string you along for a little bit more.
Exactly.
I'll lean on you, and that'll make no.
But I just feel bad for him, because he's just really... He just lays down on the ground and lets her walk all over him.
Oh, yeah. He's got the welcome tattoo across his back.
Yes.
For people to come by and wipe their feet as they go in the house.
Yeah.
He is the doormat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry for the guy. But now, on television, though...
Harriet Jones is back.
And she's now Prime Minister.
Yeah. And she still says, Harriet Jones, Prime Minister.
Like, we know
who you are.
Yes. I love that was the...
And she does it to everybody. I mean, like, later on, she's talking to the aliens, the Sycorax, and she's like
yeah.
Even they say, oh, we know who you are.
We know who you are.
It's like, yeah.
But they're talking about the Guinevere 1 space probe that's going to be landing on Mars soon. Because apparently in the Doctor Who universe, and this has been established in the classic Doctor Who, England has a space program.
They do?
Yeah. They've had manned missions back in the 70s. All this stuff, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They had manned missions?
Oh, yeah. If you watch Classic Who...
It's top secret. Yeah. Nobody knows
about it. Great Britain's space program was neck and neck with NASA for a long time. So... Yeah. So now we're launching Mars probes.
Yeah.
And you got to think, though, this aired in late 2005, which means, because of the whole time jump thing, that this, in their time, is late 2006.
Right.
So, I mean, we didn't start getting... When did our Mars rovers start going up there? This latest one, the big one, fancy, that we just did this year was... So they're kind of ahead of us on the Mars missions.
Yeah.
Because what, Spirit and Pioneer and Curiosity was the last one.
Yeah, but I can't remember like time frame of all. Yeah, that.
We're failing our space pop quiz.
I know. I'll just, I know. Like, sure.
Well, see, I get too
know.
Much science fiction mixed in with my science, and so then it turns into this whole thing
you got
of
science fiction
wait,
and my science.
When did Voyager 6 launch? Oh wait, no, we've only had two Voyagers. No. Okay, wait. But so you know, they're this one hopefully was all measured in metric. So they're not going to be crashing into the surface like one of ours did.
Ours did? Missed that.
Yeah, we actually, one of the Mars probes that they had sent up previously had one set of calculations were done in meters and one set of calculations were done imperial with feet and inches.
That's
and the probe slammed into the surface of Mars pretty hard. Yeah, it's got 15 feet, meters. Wait, oh, shot! Yeah. 15 meters and 15 feet are very, very different.
Yes, they
yeah.
are.
But what? The Brits don't have that problem because they, you know, they have their metrics.
And they suck with them.
And Guinevere looks like she's going to make it to Mars.
Yeah.
Until this giant asteroid eats it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, is there like a giant worm inside? No. Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Now
anyway.
You know how I feel on some of these episodes. Now you know how I feel when everybody in the room just stops
no.
and looks at you.
Now you know how I feel.
No.
When somebody makes bad jokes and then you're like, okay, now what do we do? Just move on. Move on.
Is this episode all about feelings now?
Yes.
Well, now you know how
you
I
know
feel.
How I feel.
Now you know how I feel when I drive all the way across town to be on this podcast, and you guys just sit there and bitch, moan, and complain about shit that has nothing to do with the episode. I'm on a motorcycle, for God's sakes. Could you at least keep up with the show?
Can we at least talk about Doctor Who?
Jesus.
What is this, Dork Trek?
I know. Well, John Pertwee drove a motorcycle on an episode of Doctor Who.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, the Daemons.
Have to
really?
Check that out.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And they had a problem with it,
what kind
too,
of motorcycle
in the
was
filming.
It?
An English one? I don't know.
Well,
you have to look it up. I don't know anything about these things, but no, he did,
okay,
and they had
research.
Trouble with it because it was like, okay, we want the stuntman to, no, I can do it. Okay, we'll just go down to there and stop. You know, and he wasn't stopping.
He was
having
too
much
fun. That's Pertwee for you.
You can't steal our bike, sir. Granddad, come back.
The magician is stealing the
bike. There's an old man in opera clothes stealing a bike from the BBC set. If anyone could stop him,
yeah.
Don't hurt him. We need him for two more episodes.
And don't hurt the bike. We need the bike back. It's a rental.
It's the only one we have. Actually, it's not a rental. We kind of borrowed it from one of the locals and said that, you know, we'd give him credit in the show because we couldn't really afford a bike. So hopefully, no. But anyway, back in this, though, they've got him, you know, the asteroid eats the probe.
Yes.
Gulp.
And as Mickey and...
Mickey and Rose are watching Santa Claus is play some Christmas songs out the street. And all of a sudden...
The song was significant, though. God rest you, merry gentlemen.
Dun, 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 yeah, it was Christmas. Dun, 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 okay.
Dun, dun, dun. But that's usually the song that's associated with Christmas Carol.
Okay.
Which was written by... Charles
Dickens.
I kept wanting to say Charles Darwin, and I'm like, I know that's
Charles
not right.
Darwin.
Christmas evolved from lesser holidays.
Like, I knew that wasn't right, but that's the only name I could think of. And I was like, no, it's Charles.
But I understand your confusion.
Darwin.
Especially from you, Darwin Christmas.
Something is in that like, cider that I drank earlier.
This is about as much fun as Charles Darwin's Christmas tree. But written by Charles Dickens, who they met. They met Charles Dickens.
Yeah.
They haven't met Charles Darwin yet.
Not yet.
That I know of.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be a good episode, yeah.
So anyway, and then the Santas start shooting out flames from their trombones.
Yes, were creepy before they even started shooting
flames. Oh, yeah.
Those metal faces and stuff.
Sorry, that doesn't look festive. That just scares the bejesus out of me.
Christmas.
I don't like English Christmas. I want to go back to American Christmas.
And I wonder if Rose at all thought that maybe these are Autons or something, that these dummies or whatever, you know, because they had the plastic faces or whatever.
Right, but they could have been masks.
Yeah, but
and the Autons didn't play instruments.
No,
so that was confusing.
True.
These guys played instruments.
Yeah.
And they had a nice little brass section going on there.
Which turned out to be pretty badass.
Yeah. So, you know, flamethrowers and bazookas. And
wow, I want to join band now.
Man, if I'd known this, I'd have gone to band instead of baseball.
Death metal Christmas!
It's definitely death metal this time.
Yes.
Didn't expect brass to be death metal, but there it was.
So they run back.
Yeah, Rose figures out pretty quick. They're after us.
Yeah, because they know the doctor. And
right. So they go jump in a cab and rush home.
Yeah. And they see this new Christmas tree in their house.
Wait, that's new.
She's like, Mom, when'd you get that tree? Oh.
Because it was Jackie at the beginning of the episode was decorating a white tree.
Right.
Now there's this green tree.
I didn't take notice to that.
Yeah.
So now someone left it at the door. She's like, the door rang and it was a tree. I figured it was from you. You know?
Candygram. Yeah.
Candygram.
Wait, you know, it's like, death tree.
Yeah.
What?
Huh? I didn't order a death tree. Candygram. Oh, okay.
Oh. Come on. Oh, my God. Because just as they noticed the tree,
it starts
spinning. Playing God Rest You Merry Gentlemen and spinning.
Yeah, because it's, you know, anything
it's the
eagle.
Whirling evergreen of death. You know?
Yeah.
And I like how it was spinning. The different sections were spinning in different directions.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bottom started whirling, you know, clockwise, and the next one's going anti-clockwise, and then the next one's going
get this buzzsaw effect, and it starts chasing them through the house, and it cuts out like a big hole in the wall that looks just like a Christmas tree.
Actually, did you even notice like the actual markings on the wall were still there from where they cut it?
Yeah.
You can see the pencil marks.
Yeah.
They didn't even cut it out well. It's like it's cut past the Sharpie marks. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should cut that minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I did kind of feel like that was pretty cheesy that they cut out that. It was like a cartoon, a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
It was funny, though.
I enjoyed it.
It was just an instant. Okay. It was, yeah.
Listen, I'm just trying to be critical of this.
But
I feel like that's my job on this show.
Well,
I was concerned about, how is she going to explain this to her landlord?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we kind of established, though, that this is kind of like the English version of the projects.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that works, because it's like public housing.
So the landlord probably wouldn't care anyway.
This is probably the least amount of damage that's been done to the state.
The wall is still there? Okay, good.
I don't have to clean up a body.
at least the wall's insulated. Yeah. You were complaining because that one room was kind of cold, but you can see there's some R16 in there. And so that was a nice touch of when they cut through the wall, that there's insulation.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember insulating interior walls that well, but...
Yeah.
All right. But Rose leans down to the doctor and says,
"Help us.
Help us, doctor. You're our only hope." And he's having this weird Star Wars dream at the time. Mm-hmm. So he sits up and pulls out his lightsaber, which happened to be a sonic screwdriver, and kills the tree.
Yeah. And
kills the tree. Oh, poor tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hippie comes out. It's like, you killed a tree.
We're a raccoon and her, Will and friends start singing. I don't know.
This is an old growth tree. You killed it.
This was a Kmart special. Obviously plastic. So the doctor goes outside, though, and the creepy Santas have followed her home.
Yes. Oh, that was so creepy.
They're all standing
stalkers.
Out there. Yeah. And he, I guess proves to them that he's fine and they better run. So he walks outside and points the sonic at them. And they're like, "Oh, hey,
so they just
dude,
back off. Like, just, whoa.
Back, dude.
Yeah.
Don't start no shit.
I saw what you did to the fucking tree."
Yeah. We just stop by and say Merry Christmas, man. You know, you're like,
you know, you're gonna be
where's
all
your spirit
solid,
at? You know,
somebody woke up on the wrong side of their generation. And just, you know, we got this thing, so we'll and they beam out.
Yeah,
and the doctor collapses.
Well, he says first he says that they're pilot fish.
Yeah.
Which are basically, they're going to be leading the way for something bigger. Like a pilot fish is a little fish.
Follows the shark around.
The shark.
Yeah, gets all the droppings that the shark doesn't get.
And he's starting to collapse and stuff. And Jackie's like, oh, what do you need? Do you need this? You need that? You need some soup? You need a sandwich? Your soup and a sandwich? Blah, 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 blah. I need you to shut up. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Shut up, Jackie.
Well, actually, Mickey told her shut up earlier as well.
Oh,
when
I missed that.
When they're first running out.
Because mm-hmm.
They hear the TARDIS thing, you know.
Yeah.
He tells her to shut up.
Oh, wow. Oh. Yeah. See, I missed that.
Yeah.
A lot of people telling her to shut up.
Well, she needs to shut the hell up.
Yeah. Well, it's not the usual way Howard shuts her up, but that's something else.
You like that Sasuma, baby?
Well, he finds an apple in the pocket. Why is there an apple? And that's with the whole thing about Howard.
Because we're into fruit insertion.
Howard gets hungry at night. Howard gets,
there's all kinds of really horrible visual imagery in my head right now. Just thinking of it. Yeah. She's got the apple shoved in her mouth and her hands tied behind her back. I'm just going to stop it right there.
So, you know, the doctor passes out again.
Yeah.
And they get him back to bed. And that's when, you know, Mickey, like you were saying, has his, you know, you love him. You know you do.
Yeah.
And she doesn't answer. Yeah. She just leans back on Mickey. Yeah. And that's enough to keep Mickey quiet for another year.
Right. Oh, she told her next time she comes back. You know.
She leaned her head on my shoulder, so she still cares for me, too. She's just dating this other guy and going off traveling through space and time with him. But she really likes me. She'll be back. That's why she comes back, because she likes me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she's just getting this out of her system for now. She'll be back.
Yeah.
She'll get bored with all this space and time travel.
Meanwhile, she's like leaning against the wall crying and like, oh, he left me. The doctor's gone.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in context of the children in need thing, mm-hmm. she's already figured out that that is the doctor.
Yeah.
She should have wrapped her head around it at
this
point.
But still, though, it's one thing, though, to go, okay, yeah, you're the doctor, but it's still, it's a new dude. It's not your doctor.
Right.
And this is probably for the viewers, you know, to get them into the whole regeneration thing that didn't see the children in need special.
Right.
You kind of got to bring the audience with you and go, yeah, this is the same guy. I know you're upset right now. This isn't your doctor.
Yeah, but it didn't work for me because I went through most of the first season, if not all of the first season and second, and part of the second, not really warming up to him a whole lot.
Okay.
So... Yeah, it took me a while.
Well, no, I mean, okay. If that's your thing, that's your thing, but...
I'm just saying.
Fine. I mean, I've discussed it on previous shows that Rachel could not stand David Tennant when he first came on. Because she had watched so much of the first first season with the Ninth Doctor that when Tennant came along...
Well, people,
who the hell
people
is
fear
that?
Change. They don't want their shows to change.
And by this point, though, this is the Tenth Doctor for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen so many regenerations.
So you're just
I'm just waiting for them to drop.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, and we've discussed this before that when I was a kid, it was better because we didn't have the internet and we didn't have all the spoilers and the rumors.
Right.
So
when you regenerated, you were surprised.
Yeah, when there was a regeneration, you know, when Tom Baker fell off the Pharos project, it was like, holy crap, oh my God. He's not getting up. What's wrong? Oh, my God. Don't worry. The moment's been prepared for. And then he absorbs this other dude, and they regenerate into Peter Davison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my
what
God.
What the hell just happened?
We got another doctor? Because that was my first regeneration, was Tom Baker to Peter Davison.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Peter Davison's still my favorite doctor. But that initial thing, you know, I've only seen maybe a year or two of Tom Baker when all of a sudden he dies and some other dude's on TV. And it's like, I don't understand. I'm only 11. Why is this happening?
See, I remember, you know, because Tom Baker's first doctor I ever saw. And then, you know, there was a gap before I ever saw Doctor Who again. And it was somebody else. I was like... And I just assumed, okay, different actor.
Yeah.
I was like, but I don't know. I don't like this. And I didn't watch it for a while. Every now and then I would catch it on, you know, PBS or something.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then I was like, oh, somebody else is playing a doctor. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, he's
know
not even dressed the same.
Yeah.
I mean, you could almost see that, you know, if you had a new actor come into the same part and there wasn't a regenerate, you know, you're trying to, like, pawn it off.
Yeah.
Like on Roseanne with the oldest daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just like, oh, nobody notices. She's the same.
I forgot yeah. about that.
Yeah.
And then it happened on Fresh Prince Bel-Air.
Oh, the mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they brought back the original mom at some point, like near the
I
end or
didn't
something.
Watch the
Or maybe that
later
was Roseanne.
Ones.
I can't remember which.
Well, no, on Roseanne, they brought back the original daughter.
Right, okay.
And they actually made fun of it on an episode where at yeah. the ending, they did the old Patty Duke show thing. They're cousins, identical cousins, can't you see? That whole thing. And it had the two of them together, but they did it with, like, obvious split screen.
Right.
So it looked like they were, you know, the old Patty Duke show, it was obviously Patty Duke playing two parts.
Yeah.
And you'd see the line and stuff where it was, you know, the camera tricks.
Mm-hmm.
They did that, but it was two actresses. The one who played
oh, okay.
the real daughter
so
and the one who played the replacement.
Purpose.
Yeah. And they're at, like, at the doorway, you know, doing the mirror thing. Huh? Yeah. So...
You know, hold like completely different.
Uh-huh.
Planet of the Apes. You had one actor playing several characters over several films. You know, Roddy McDowell.
Roddy McDowell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, and he's Cornelius. He's Galen now. Wait,
Caesar.
It's the what? Same monkey.
What the hell's going on?
We're not monkeys. We're apes.
What are you racist? Are you saying all chimps look the same? What the fuck? What's wrong with you?
Oh, my God.
But that was, I mean, and that show used to get me in all kinds of trouble because I would do that hunched over walk
yeah.
with the arms up he would do, and I'd go to pick things out of my mother's hair.
Oh, everyone always did it, like, picking, you know.
And I'd do the little mouth, the little, when you get frustrated thing, and then she'd usually turn around and smack me.
Stop that. What the hell's wrong with you, boy?
Hey, you'll be watching no goddamn talking monkey movie again.
What kind of nonsense is this? She should have put the hose on you.
No, she used
it's a madhouse.
So, yeah. I am easily influenced
but that actually
by my
happened.
Science
you
fiction.
She turned the hose on you and you were like, it's a madhouse.
I've been hosed down. My grandmother decided I needed a bath. And
did you exclaim this a madhouse?
No, oh, I did not. I missed opportunity. But I was too much in shock.
If
from
ever there was a time to scream out, it's a madhouse, well, when you're being hosed down. Yeah.
This was, we had a well, and it was a very deep well. So mm-hmm. the water was always ice cold.
Oh.
So you're getting sprayed down in, you know, early spring.
Ice cold water.
With ice cold water. There was no time of, hey, I think I'll make a witty science fiction reference right now. Oh my God, this is cold.
My balls are freezing. Oh my God.
Yeah, I can feel them in my throat. They've drawn up so much. They're like little frozen grapes.
Anyway.
So back to the doctor in yeah. bed.
Where were we?
Yeah.
Okay, so the space probe has been swallowed up by the asteroid.
Yes.
Then we find out it's not really an asteroid, it's a giant spaceship.
Well, we don't find that out until, oh, hey, everything's all right. The space probe didn't crash. Matter of fact, it landed and we're going to get signals from it right
oh,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's cut to that live. Huh? How's that going?
And here's Johnny.
Yeah, we get this scary, spooky alien. I like how Rose and Jackie and Mickey are sitting there watching TV, and when the alien pops on, all three of them have that jump back.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah. And this thing's talking to them, and usually Rose will be able to understand, but because the doctor is out of commission,
right?
He's not, you know, he's broken the chain between her and the TARDIS, so she can't understand alien
right.
language right now.
Which is kind of, you know, let's make this be convenient.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it where the doctor's not around, and it does work, and then it doesn't work. And there's something on the newer episodes we saw where it takes a while for it to wear off.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it's like, yeah, you know, be consistent. And it's always been like that. Whenever it's like the Star Trek Prime Directive, we bring it up when it's convenient.
Yeah. When it needs to be a plot device, and they'll bring it up.
Yeah. Or the TARDIS makes, you know, the TARDIS knows what makes good television.
Mm-hmm.
And so she'll turn off or turn on right. the translation as
exactly.
needed.
Because the TARDIS is very smart.
Yeah, very smart TARDIS.
Yeah. And I noticed that the alien on the screen, which we find out later, is the Sycorax, mm-hmm. which... The first time I watched this, I kept thinking cigarettes. I was like, oh, it's a cigarette alien.
No, it's the name of the witch from The Tempest.
Okay. Okay.
It's Shakespeare. Shakespeare made it up, the word.
I know what that is, but I don't, okay. I've never read that one, so.
No, he made up the word cigarax.
Okay, I'm saying.
Or he
I
stole it from somebody.
Know the reference.
Well, who made cigarettes?
Sir Thomas Raleigh.
Sir Walter Raleigh.
No, Thomas Raleigh, his younger brother.
Oh.
A lot of people don't know him. See, Walter brought back the tobacco, but Thomas actually, you know, said, I'll roll this up, see what happens.
Oh.
Oh, man, this is some good shit, man. You just roll it up with some paper, man. You got anything else from the New World? What's this green stuff, man? Oh, man, this oregano? Oh, man. This American oregano. The American oregano, man, is really good.
Anyway, the aliens.
Yeah.
The Sycorax.
Yes.
It sounded like the Hutt. Did anybody catch that? Like, it sounded like Jabba the Hutt talking.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I'm like the whole time. Exactly.
Chicken oliva tonde.
Yes.
Kafa nanjandi. Ho, 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 ho.
Watch your language on this show.
Sikandoji. Pishikambabuba. Sumbatatati.
It's a good thing we're running that explicit tag. I'm just saying, mister.
Pichinundo Boomba. Sundeja Bafaji.
What'd you say about my mother?
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
You done broke Ben.
You're broken already.
So,
that's why I couldn't understand the translation.
Harriet Jones, as soon as this breaks onto the screen.
Yeah.
Harriet Jones heads for the Tower of London.
Is that where they were? I didn't even catch that.
Harriet Jones, who is she?
Prime Minister.
Prime Minister. Flight on North.
No, Prime Minister. Great Britain.
And she's like, has there been a code 9 yet? And the code 9 is obviously.
Well, now
have we seen
change that to code 10.
Oh.
Because code 9 was the old doctor, I'd assume.
I think it's just code 9.
Code 9, yeah.
Yeah.
Code 9 is, has the doctor been sighted? No.
No. And what about Torchwood? And then the guy's like, oh.
What? I don't know about no Torchwood.
No, I know I'm not supposed to know about it. But is it ready? Is it online or whatever?
Well, if there was a Torchwood, they wouldn't be ready right now, but maybe they're informed.
Yeah.
If there was a Torchwood, but there's not, because you don't know about that.
Yeah. I mean, so, nothing.
I can torch. Are you cold? I can get the torch for the wood, but there's no super secret group that works for the Crown directly that takes care of alien problems, because that would be illegal. And you don't know about it, if there was one.
So, yeah. So they get.
But they've got this really hot guy with a long coat that we can't know his name yet, but.
Yeah. And anyway.
So, apparently he has hot wood.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear.
He drives a hot rod. But anyway.
So they can't understand the alien language
either.
Yeah,
but they have a translator.
Well, they have a translator that learns the language, I guess.
Yeah, the computer thing.
It's going to take like 5 hours, but they finally get the translation. And I love that, you know, it's like, we're going to take your rocks and gems or whatever.
Yeah.
And then at the end it says, Sycorax rock!
And the guy explains, no, this is like in the modern metal sense of Sycorax rock.
Yeah.
So you got the entire Sycorax throwing the horn.
Hello, Great Britain!
And they kind of do look like a metal band.
They sort of do, yeah.
They're like war.
Yes.
Space war! You know what we should do right now? Is take a break. And then we'll come back in a minute after a couple of commercials and...
Do we do breaks this season?
Yeah, we're doing breaks now.
Okay,
breaks are cool.
Let's take a break.
Okay, great.
What's up, dudes? It's Alfredo Torres, and if you guys are into the latest in zombie subculture, literature, movies, comic books, the place to go every Tuesday Torres versus Zombies. TorresVsZombies.com. Check it out and find out tips on how to survive the upcoming zombie apocalypse. It's a great time. It's every Tuesday. Torres versus Zombies.
This is your captain, not Patrick Stewart speaking. You're listening to Dork Trek.
Yeah, Riker's in no mood.
Yeah.
It's probably been a couple hours since he had one, and he's kind of getting all fidgety. And
he's getting the shakes.
You know what? Data, use that positronic brain of yours and figure something out.
It's kind of a slam.
That was a great line.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah.
It's like Data had beat him at, like, you know, poker the night before something. And yeah. So, it's my positronic brain.
Why don't you use that fucking positronic brain for something good? God damn it.
Why don't you stop talking about that positronic brain and start using it, stupid?
Lick my positronic nuts.
DorkTrek.com.
Okay, and we're back.
That was a nice break. So anyway, so Harry Jones sends back the message, you know, fuck you, we're not going to surrender.
No, today is a day of peace.
Fuck you, we're not going to surrender.
And we'd like to extend that peace to you on this day of peace for planet Earth. But yeah, we got guns.
Yeah, we're armed.
We're armed.
We will not surrender. We don't cater to terrorists.
Well, it's like, though, when the guy said, oh, the American president's on the phone and wants to take charge of the situation. And she's like, no, tell him that he's not my boss.
I
like, you're
got
not the
this.
Boss of me. You're not the boss of me, and you're not going to make this into a war.
I got this, bitch.
And then she goes straight into, yeah, but we're armed and we will mess you up.
Right. So they respond by
laughing.
Well, yeah, they laugh, and all of a sudden, about a third of the Earth's population just starts walking, mind control. They end up on the roofs of buildings, looking like they're about to jump off the buildings.
Surrender, or we will make them jump.
I thought they're going to break out to We Are the World.
Hands across Great Britain. Yeah. Now, this worried me, though, because they figure out that everybody who's doing this have one thing in common.
They have A positive blood.
Yes, and I have A positive blood.
Oh, so you'd be up on the roof.
I would have been up on the roof.
Oh, nice to know you.
Yeah.
I'd be sitting down here with my O positive.
Looking up there going, is he still up there? Yeah.
Don't jump.
Hey, while you're up there, could you turn the antenna? A little bit more to the left.
You're blocking the dish.
Yeah, step to the...
I can't watch Doctor Who!
Hey, can you see my house from up there?
I can see my house from here. Out there throwing potatoes at me. Stop blocking the dish, dumbass!
So, yeah, obviously this is a mind control thing, or, you know, blood control. Surrender, or they'll all jump. Yeah, and
Harriet Jones addresses the nation.
Yeah.
So I guess they canceled the Queen's traditional Christmas day.
Well, actually, they were up on the roof.
Yeah, the Queen and the royal family was on the roof.
Has anybody checked on the royal family?
Yeah, she's like, oh, they're on the roof.
Oh, they're all on the roof.
Yeah.
Up on the roof.
And that's the thing, is earlier when they were trying to find out what this was in common, he's like, well, yeah, it's affecting, you know, like people who are, blood connections. So, you know, fathers and sons, or fathers and children, or mothers and children, but not husband and wife.
Right.
Because they're, you know, not necessarily the same blood type.
Just by accident.
Yeah. But the entire royal family is on the roof means they're all the same blood type.
It's royally bred.
Oh.
I mean, nothing.
What?
They need to date more.
Yeah.
Outside, you know, go out of town and date somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's because the guy, the science guy.
Yeah.
What's his name? Something Llewellyn. He had put a vial of
Doug
blood.
Llewellyn.
Yeah. He put a vial of blood in the space probe.
Yeah.
That was
you know, they had like the little samples of grain and the picture of
this
Earth.
This is Earth.
His favorite CD, and I wonder what his favorite CD was. Maybe probably put Supertramp up in there, which isn't a bad choice.
Kenny G. He put some Kenny G up in there.
Well, I hope not.
No, they wouldn't have invaded then.
Yeah. They would have,
they would have ran.
That's why they invaded.
Too primitive.
You don't even invade. You put something good, and they're like, oh, we need to go check more of this out.
No, they're
you got Led Zeppelin in there, and they're like, oh, let's check this out.
we're going to take all your rock.
That's what they were here for. They mistranslated rock. All your mineral belonged to us. It was actually all your rock.
Yeah.
They were coming for all the good.
We love Soundgarden. Yeah.
Send more nickel back.
What? No. No.
You can have them.
They would just blow up the planet.
No, you can have them. You want nickel back? You can. We'll. Can you beam up or can we send them up?
We surrender, you go.
And you'll leave. All you want is bye-bye. Nickelback and then you leave. How about we give you Nickelback and Creed?
Yeah. 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah, no.
Leave us alone. Yeah. We give you two bands.
Ma'am, you need to... No, they take that as a threatening gesture and have now declared war on us.
So yeah, Harriet Jones is addressing the nation. Yep. She wants the. She says, "Please, Doctor, help us.
You're our only hope."
Yeah, which comes up over and over again this episode. Meanwhile, the spaceship hits the atmosphere as it's descending
and broke all the windows in England.
Yes,
sonic wave.
So yeah, it's a big ship,
and the ship really literally looks like a piece of shit. It's this big, ugly.
Well, they
followed
out an asteroid.
So it was an asteroid, okay.
It looked like something like that, because that was one of the things
we're
when...
petrified turd.
Yes.
Could be, you know, one of the space whale from first season.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it looked like a giant piece of shit.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was gigantic. Well, it was, like, probably covered, like, all of England.
Yeah, well, no. Not that big. It was all of London.
Big. Okay.
England's pretty big. Now, I mean, that was one of the books I read when I was a kid was the Millennium Project. And one of the ways that we could colonize space that they suggested was that we hollow out asteroids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like ant farms, where the mine and stuff, and make big caverns and stuff. Because the structure of the asteroid would protect the contents. And then you just rig some engines to it and go. And I think that's what they've done. Because when we see the exterior of this thing, it does look like, you know, there's some work being done. They got the scaffolding up there from where they were painting it and stuff.
Good camouflage.
Yeah.
Like, they can just park it anywhere and nobody will know it's a spaceship.
Well, that's why you if it looks like a giant turd, that way if a bird craps on it, you don't
you
notice.
Don't care.
You don't notice.
It's just part of the decoration. Yeah. So,
you know, Rose decides, hey, you know what?
Let's go to the TARDIS.
Yeah, this got
safer
this,
there.
This shit got real.
I took a safety class, and they said, when in case of a sonic wave, you go to the TARDIS.
Yeah,
like
well,
an earthquake, you go in the doorway. Sonic wave, you go to the TARDIS.
Anything.
You just go to the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sonic wave, earthquake, tsunami, volcano. Your mother-in-law is coming to town. All these go to the TARDIS.
And so she and Mickey are carrying the Doctor.
Yes.
Still passed out, you know, carrying him down to the TARDIS. Jackie, instead of helping, is carrying, like, well, she's a fuck ton of bags.
Well, yeah, she's bringing food and supplies. I've not seen the kitchen lately on the TARDIS, so...
Yeah. She's kind of thinking in a, you know...
She's a mom.
In a survival mode.
Okay,
yeah,
but she carries... You see all the shit she's carrying. She's got all these bags. I mean, just unwieldy as hell. Like, she can't even get, like...
Well, she's, like... Maybe Howard is a survivalist. And so he's got, like, MREs. And
all
his,
she's got to carry the shit in is shopping bags?
Maybe.
Seriously.
Speaking of Howard, maybe she's like, wow, it's really not working out. This is my way out. I'm getting all my shit out of here.
Right.
I don't think there's a... it's not working out phase with Jackie. When it doesn't work out, somebody else comes over.
Yeah. I mean, Howard just comes around to deliver groceries and some guy answers the door. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's how it is.
Yeah.
But she carries all these bags and apparently it's still not enough because they get down to the TARDIS. She's made tea in the thermos or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then she's like, oh, I gotta go get some more stuff.
Can I tell you, after this, I wanted tea the rest of the day. What was the first thing I did when I got here?
Made tea.
Jammy Dodgers and tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it put it in my head.
No, what kind
must
did you have? Did you have
tea.
Earl Grey hot?
Earl Grey hot. With just a touch of milk.
Did you say that to the Keurig machine when you...
I always say that to the Keurig machine.
Tea, Earl Grey,
I say,
hot.
Keurig, tea, Earl Grey, hot. And it says processing.
You have to.
You do.
You have to. So,
but,
yeah.
So, I don't know which kind of tea she made, but it did look like she did do it English style, because there was milk
there
in it.
There was milk in it. It was mm-hmm. creamy.
So, she makes the tea, but she's got to go back for more.
And then... Yeah, so she goes to get some more stuff. Harry Jones has been teleported up to the ship, and the ship senses the TARDIS, I guess, on Earth.
Well, Mickey and Rose are dicking around with trying to get the television to come on.
Oh, yeah. They send out a signal, and then the Sycorax see
Blame
them.
Blame Harriet.
And they pull them up to the ship, too.
Yeah.
So they leave
Jackie
behind.
Which, like you pointed out... With the whole,
it's like Hitchhiker's Guide. Go back for your bag and you get left behind.
Always.
When will people learn?
If you make it to the TARDIS, you don't leave the TARDIS without
there.
The doctor.
Right.
Until the doctor says, oh, we're here for the next adventure. That's when you come out of the TARDIS.
Mm-hmm.
And don't wander off.
Right.
He hates it when you wander off.
But he kind of expects it at some point, really.
But at the same time, I'm not trying to piss this guy off for the first couple of adventures.
Right.
I'm not going to pull an Adam.
Right.
I'm not
getting
kicked off.
Because you will get kicked out.
Yeah. I'm staying there long enough to get a key and, maybe get recurring status later on.
You get the unlimited credits so you can buy shit everywhere you go.
Yeah, I want my American Express to now just whatever I want.
Like, hook me up.
Yep, unlimited. My unlimited American Express, can you go into the car dealership and just put it on the card?
But I do love how Harry Jones and Prime Minister, obviously.
Yeah.
She has her translator guy with her with the little Google Translate device in his hand. And now that it took 5 hours to figure out the language at first,
well,
but
he
now
has
it's
to
like
learn
instant.
It. Yeah.
But why does she still need the translator guy with her? To just
well, he's
the
her right-hand man.
Yeah.
So he's like he's the aide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she says that when she's introducing everybody at the unit headquarters there at Tower of London, she says he's her right-hand man.
Okay.
And she never thought she would like a right-hand man, but now she couldn't think, she couldn't do it without him.
Yeah, and he pretty much agrees, so, yeah.
Yeah. He loves being her right-hand.
He's
right
going to stay by her side. He's I'm her right-hand man. I'm going to be right here.
Yes.
She prefers lefties? Is that what it is?
No.
Right hand.
He is now her right hand. When she stretches out her right hand, he's there. When she cups her hand gently, he's there. That's where you wanted it to go. I saw your face.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
I got to get the show back down to its
baser level.
Gutter level that I aspire to.
Now I have to start wondering if we're going to upset Kirby. Because he fax checks us, and now it's just like,
fax checks.
Check the facts.
Anyway.
We're bad people.
We are,
and we bring down people with us. We shouldn't be let alone. But, the Sycorax, though, kill.
They kill, like, everyone. They kill the Llewellyn guy.
Yeah.
They kill
with their laser whips, whips of doom that turn you into a skeleton.
Yeah, and those laser whips, they reminded me of the original Ferengi weapons.
That's right.
Well,
yeah.
Except for the fact that these were actually scary.
Yeah, they didn't jump around like little monkey men.
Yeah. The Sycorax
had the pyrotechnics of the Ferengi whips, but the, death quality of, Indiana Jones whip.
Yeah. Because they die.
Yeah.
He takes out Llewellyn, skeleton. And then the unit general, the new brigadier comes up and is like, whoa, hey, that means you're prisoner.
Not cool, buddy.
Articles of war, blah, blah, blah.
Zap. There's your article of war. How do you like that?
Prisoner. Now you're not a prisoner. Now you're just dead.
Yeah. Now, does anyone else have any objections? Anyone?
Nope.
Well, it got really quiet in here. Is it something I said? No? Everybody? Okay.
Yeah, and I like how they walk up to the Sycorax, or they see the Sycorax for the first time. It's like, oh, it's just a helmet.
He goes to take the helmet off. Yeah,
and it's like,
scary
face. Maybe it look like us. They're like, nope.
They look even worse than ever.
They're
like,
uglier
they have
under the mask.
Exposed muscle and blood vessels and just horrible.
Very ugly
horrible.
People.
So
now the TARDIS is on board. And Rose doesn't know they've taken off. They're still talking about, well, where's Jackie? I don't know. Let me go hurry her up so we can, you know.
And then the dumb bitch, she steps out of the TARDIS with her back facing the outside.
Yeah. Yes.
She's looking at Mickey as she steps out.
But she shuts the door as she steps out.
Yeah, but she's stepping out into, you know, she's
stepping out to the parking lot.
Yeah.
But you never know.
And she screams.
You never know.
And that's why Mickey, since she screamed, runs out looking out.
Yeah, and he spills the tea.
He drops it.
He drops the tea.
Because his woman cries out. He drops he drops everything.
He loves her.
It's true.
When, like, Rose calls, he drops everything. That's, like, it's a given.
If you walked out the front door and screamed, would you not want us to run out to see what the hell was going on? Or just sit here and go, oh, wait.
Maybe.
Daryl, let's get the dishes. Let's pick up a little bit, because if she's screaming, there may be company. So go ahead and start.
No, I'm not dissing on him for that. I'm just saying that she should not have stepped out the front. Like,
you're saying she's the idiot in this situation.
My front door and not look to see what is going on around.
I've seen you a couple of times whenever we leave. You step out and immediately turn and lock the door.
Yeah, but I look out first.
You don't look that well.
No, I do. I look out to make sure there's no creepers.
We could be on a Sycorax spaceship, and you not know it until you've locked the door and turn around and be like, and then you wonder where I am, because I'll be back inside before you finish screaming, looking at the mail slot, going,
if I had a TARDIS, I would put a screen door on it just like this, so you can see out at all times.
A screen on a TARDIS is just tacky.
No.
It's like white trash Time Lords.
You let the breeze in. It's great.
Yeah, when you're in the vacuum of space, the breeze doesn't come in. It goes out as your air supply sucks out into space.
There's a protective bubble around the TARDIS.
There would be no breeze.
Oh, I can't say that. Spoilers.
I know what you're talking about, and no. But I like it on the classic Who, though. They had the double doors. Because you had the inner doors, the big white doors.
Wait, the TARDIS was a double wide on classic?
it had double doors, though. It had the inside doors, and then you walked through this dark area, and then it was outside doors. So it was all, you know, you. But sometimes you could they'd open the doors like on the old ones.
Mm-hmm.
They'd open the doors, and the outside was right there. Even though those doors look nothing like the outside doors.
It's this
weird, where they'd put the set on, you know, on the planet or whatever. So Hartnell would open the doors, and these big white bubble doors would open up, and outside is right there to make it dramatic. But then when they walked out, they were coming out of the blue TARDIS doors. But then later, like on Tom Baker and Peter Davison and those guys, the doors would open, and they would walk into, like, this dark area, and then they'd be coming. So it was like there was two sets of doors. Yeah, there's a foyer. A foyer.
Foyer.
These are English folks. They speak the French.
So where are we at? Okay.
So
Mickey has been spilled.
Mickey drops the tea, runs out.
And it spills onto the little heating element or whatever, and then there's some aromatherapy tea action going on there.
Which is like Simon, the game Simon.
Uh-huh. It did look,
it did.
Blue.
I think it is painted a Simon game.
Yeah.
And just dump tea on it.
Yeah. I didn't think about it until you said that. It was like, yeah, I would have never made that connection, but now that you've said it, I can't not see.
Yeah.
Right, like the paint roller thing.
Yeah.
The paint roller on the Daleks.
Yeah, the Daleks' laser hand looks like a paint roller.
Yeah.
And then we saw a Dalek, and they used a paint roller and put LED lights at the end. You know, the guts of the paint roller.
Yeah.
You know, the metal part, the metal bits.
So the doctor starts waking up, which proves that Jackie was actually right.
The way he's waking up, though, is...
Well, yeah.
When, you know, the guy's... Chakoto madanja kopachane sikaraka hunda chata. You know, going off and saying, you know, translator dudes doing his little translation. And
all of a sudden it's like, oh
is that English?
Wait, he spoke.
I would never speak English.
I would never dirty my tongue with your foul little language.
But no, the doctor's waking up.
Yeah, I like that. Everybody's like, wait, that's English. I heard English.
Yeah,
definitely English.
Pretty sure that was English. Yeah.
Remember, he had a nice received English, like lower London type accent.
We're from England. Pretty sure we know what English sounds like.
Harriet Jones, Prime Minister, Great Britain.
Yes, we know who you are.
Yeah, well, that's England.
And yeah,
I know English.
I'm not speaking English!
No!
Stop saying that! Hate you! You ruined my life! And Rose puts it together. Wait, if we're hearing English...
That means the doctor's alive!
Better English than I actually speak with my cavy little... Slavine.
Slavine.
Slavine. Slavine. There's a T-H.
Your face. Anyway.
They make fun of us for speaking English wrong, but they can't pronounce T-H.
Yeah. And they call her the yellow girl.
The yellow
girl. The blue
girl.
Box. The yellow girl.
It's because she's
a little oriental.
Wow.
I wasn't even going to go there.
They're talking about her yellow
last
hair.
Last time I guessed.
Hey, thanks for joining us this week, girl.
You have a blue box.
So she tries to bluff them, though, when they call her out, and she, talks about the Article
15 of the Prussian Proclamation in the Slovene, or blah, blah, blah.
Parliament of the Slovene.
Yeah, she's just making
the
shit
mighty
up.
Jaggerfax.
Jaggerfest. And the, what else did she say? Did she say the face of Bo or something?
She
or?
Went through everything that she knew. And the Daleks.
And the Daleks.
And, and he's laughing at her because he's like, yeah, you're stolen words.
Yeah, they know she's just making shit up.
Yeah.
So,
it's like a little kid that heard some stuff.
Exactly.
I know when mommy tells daddy this, he shuts up, so I'll tell my teacher this, and then you get expelled.
So the doctor comes out.
Yeah.
And he walks up to the cigarettes. I keep wanting to say cigarettes.
Yeah, the cigarettes.
Cigarettes. And, the guy's all busting bad on him. He's like, just give me your staff. I'm going to break it over.
Well, I like how he stopped. He's going to whip, and he just catches it, snatches it. Give me that.
Total badass.
Yeah. And then he just kind of has this little chat with Rose.
I need y'all to hold on a second. I need to go talk to my blokes over here. Hold on. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of talks to Harriet Jones and talks, she's like, you look different than before. And I feel like this is kind of a recap for new viewers have never seen and don't know about the regeneration thing. It's like, this is what happened.
We really have to drive it home so people accept this episode, this is what he's going to look like. Because he's not really in this episode much.
Right.
Yeah, he's
asleep most of the time. Yeah.
He's hungover. And he's still trying to find himself a little bit, trying to figure out who he is as a doctor, what type of person am I? And he sees this button up there, and he's like, am I the kind of person that would press a button that looks like I shouldn't press it? And he figures out
scary red button.
Yeah.
And he opens it. Oh, it's connected
under
to
no
something.
Under no circumstances should I press this button.
He tastes the blood, and apparently he can tell blood types by taste.
Yeah. And it was high.
What the hell?
A little iron. Touch
is he a vampire? Yeah. So he pushes
his
the button.
His skin would be glittery if he was a vampire, wouldn't it?
What's that?
His skin would be glittery.
No,
not, his bad breath, not his halitosis.
He's a real vampire, not one of those sparkly fake vampires.
Yeah, so he saves all the people on Earth. And
by pushing the button.
Yeah, which he said that they basically would not have jumped anyway because with mind control, you can't.
Well, blood control.
Well, okay, yeah, blood control, you can't tell them to do something that they wouldn't have done anyway.
Right.
So if you get the one depressed motherfucker up there on the roof, they might have already jumped,
Sycorax is like, that wasn't one of ours.
We were going to do it anyway, so.
Wait, this guy was like B negative.
Positive. Yeah, what the hell is that?
If he's depressed and suicidal, he's B negative.
Oh, okay.
B negative. No, there's some, you know.
I just couldn't let me take all the bad jokes this episode.
Well, I got to think, though, a few of our listeners have to be B negative, and they're like, that's not funny, man. I was feeling down today. And then you're like, oh, B negative. And I'm like, God damn it. I can't even
be positive.
Yeah.
I can't be positive because my card, it says B negative, and you just reinforced it. I hate your show. I'm never listening again.
I'm going to go get up on a roof.
I grew up on the roof, and it's your fault. So I want to officially say, on behalf of the Playing Doctor podcast, that suicide's not the answer.
If you feel suicidal, call us.
No, call someone who can help. Yeah. Don't call us, because we have a message.
Like better advice.
Call a professional. There are helplines around the world. It's something I take very seriously. Call for help. Or get a drink.
But not too many.
No.
Yeah. So anyway,
it's not alone with a friend.
Yeah.
go
have a beer with your mates and
watch Doctor Who.
Watch Doctor Who. Not the Van Gogh episode.
Yeah.
It's coming up in a few years, and that's a spoiler, but I'm going to leave that in because if you've seen it, you know that's not the episode to watch.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, so he challenges.
Yeah, after quoting The Lion King.
Yeah, I didn't catch that quote.
The circle of life. Humans come out all blinking into the sun. And
yeah, he challenges him to a Mortal Kombat, but then he does this little thing where he speaks the Sycorax language without it being translated for us.
And what did I tell you about that?
What?
He's a doctor.
The TARDIS knows what makes for good television.
Yeah. Right, right.
Much like the universal translator on Star Trek, it only works when it needs to. Or when it will, you know, push the story forward. So they have their nice little sword battle.
Yeah.
And the doctor takes it outside.
Mm-hmm. But I like the little bit where Rose was like, oh, look out, doctor! And he's like, oh, thanks. I never would have thought of that.
Yeah.
Thanks for the help.
Yeah. So he's a little more snarky.
Yeah.
So they get outside and they're battling on the outside of the ship now. And
then there's a little Star Wars moment with him getting his hand chopped off.
I'm your father.
It's not true. It's not true.
It's impossible.
Chop.
My hand.
And then, but he.
I will go ahead and put that spoiler out there. We see the hand again.
Okay. Yeah, that's not too much of a spoiler.
Yeah. Because it fell on... The hand that gets chopped off and falls to London.
Yeah.
We see it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did a body grow?
It comes back. It actually plays a very important part in upcoming episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So keep an eye out for hands.
Yeah.
As I was told as I entered this place.
Phantom hands.
It's like Thing from the Addams Family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scurrying around London. My God, is that David Tennant's hand? No, it's Thing. Close the box.
But I hate how he grows his new hand back. Because he's still regenerating.
I'm still within 15 hours of my regeneration cycle.
Which brings up other issues that I can't talk about because it's so far ahead of anything we're at.
Make notes on what to bring up when we get to where we're far ahead from.
Well, I'll forget.
I know,
really
so I said
forget.
Make notes.
Because this is like...
I should forget to make the notes is what she said.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the current...
I'm almost to the point of wanting to, once we finish this series, go back...
And talk about it again.
All 6 or 7, I guess at this time it'll be 8 years by the time we get to it, redo the entire series, but this time with all the spoilers.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, this was referred to in this episode. Yeah. This was referred in.
Now we can talk about all this stuff because we already got through it. Anyway, so
we'll call that podcast Played Out Doctor.
Playing Doctor again.
Played Doctor.
So
hand comes back.
Rose's new hand. Uh-huh. And he's like, this is a fighting hand. So stupid.
I like that. It's a fighting hand.
No, but his accent was just so horrible. Yeah.
Well, it was supposed to be.
I don't think it was supposed to be that bad.
You have no idea how many times whenever I become aware of my hand that I say, it's a fighting hand.
When I become aware of my hand.
Haven't you done that? Just become aware of body parts randomly?
Well, yes.
I mean, it's
certain ones in particular.
Yeah. Well, no, like when you suddenly
oh, hello.
Aware. No, you're sitting at work, you're typing, and all of a sudden you're just like, you become aware of your tongue. And it grosses you out because it's in your mouth, and you're like, blah, 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 blah. It's my tongue. You've never done that?
No, I can honestly say I've never done that.
I've done that. I've become aware of my ears, and it's just like, huh.
But I have spilled beer on myself because you know of random things that you say.
The absolute worst thing to become aware of? Your xiphoid process.
I hate when that happens.
You know what that is?
No, I do not. That's why I'm looking at you with this blank expression.
At the bottom, where your rib cage comes together, at the bottom of your solar plexus,
yeah,
there's a knot, right?
I'm sorry, a knot or nut?
A knot. There's a knot right here. Okay. And the thing is it's supposed to be there. But if you're not aware of it, and then when you suddenly become aware of it, like you just... whatever, rub your chest or something, yeah. And you're like, what the hell is... And you go to the emergency room because I've got a... it's broken or something.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard doctor friends of mine say that that is the most annoying thing because people will become aware of it,
yeah,
and have never noticed it before. And they're like, oh my God, I've got some kind of tumor or it's broken. Or,
it's not a tumor.
It's supposed to be there.
Exactly.
That's what the doctor should be like, it's not a tumor.
But the thing is that because of my Swiss cheese memory, about every 6 to 8 months... I become aware of mine.
And
so for like 5 minutes, I go into complete panic of, oh my fucking, oh, what is this? Oh my God. Oh, wait. Yeah. Xiphoid process.
It's back.
It
sounds like something much more complicated than just a little piece of.
And that's all it is, though. It's just a little cartilage thing at the bottom of your.
The xiphoid process.
Sounds like a metal band.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, a way to, like, you know, it's like a style of, like, enema or colonic or something.
That
it's
could
like,
be, too.
Give him the xiphoid process. Oh, God, that's going to hurt.
Is that
shut your mouth or you're getting the xiphoid process again.
You in the middle brush is going there.
All right.
Okay, anyway. Where are we at?
So the doctor gets his hand back and defeats him and says, hey, you've got to surrender.
Go away, never come
and
back.
He's walking away and talking to Rose. Yay, we won. And the cigarettes leader jumps up with his sword like he's going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor, who has recently found a Satsuma in his pocket.
Yes.
Because Howard loves fruit in the middle of the night. Throws it, hits a release.
What man doesn't?
And you said I'm not allowed to joke like that. And drops the Sycorax to his death.
Which is, okay,
and he says,
again,
that's the kind of man I am.
Again,
no second chances.
This little, the panel on the wall, conveniently, has a button. That opens up
ledge.
And drops a ledge right where that guy is standing.
Yes.
It's just way too convenient.
Well, he already said, though, when his hand got cut off, that's the kind of man I am. I'm lucky.
Oh. And it's a fighting hand.
It's a fighting hand. So we know he's lucky. He's lucky with his fighting hand.
So he goes back
and he's good with fruit.
Yeah.
So.
And where is Jack these days?
What?
We're not supposed to bring the hand up, so just keep going.
Anyway, so, so he goes back and tells the rest of the Sycorax,
I won.
Hey, fuck off. Don't come back. And, you
know. For the rest of time, do not return to this planet.
Yeah.
And when you go out there and you're telling everyone about Earth and all of its resources and all of its potential, you also tell them this planet is defended. It is defended.
Yeah.
Do not come back. So they go back down to Earth and, you know, they're kind of chatting with Harriet and...
Yay!
You know.
Jackie comes running up.
Yeah. And...
it's the bleeding Prime Minister.
Boy, yeah, it's the Prime Minister!
Right!
Yeah.
Then the doctor said something about it, like, you know, the human race is sending out all these probes and stuff. They're very noisy. They're starting to draw attention from alien races.
They're like babies.
They need the attention.
You don't know what you're doing. You're like
a
baby.
Make a bunch of noise.
So we're going to get more visitors. That's just, it stands to reason. It's just the noisier we are, the more attention we're drawing to ourselves. You can't expect people not to, you know, we're calling, hey, anybody out there? Hello?
Visit us.
And when they show up, we shoot them.
Right. But the doctor is having a little chat with Jackie and Rose or whatever, and Harriet's talking to her guy over there.
Right here, man.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, she's like, you know, something about, is it ready or whatever? And
then Torchwood's ready.
Fire will.
Yep.
And you see, like, this big star shape come out over the city of London, and it shoots
death
a laser
star beam.
Yes.
Earth becomes a Death Star.
Exactly. And blows up the Sycorax ship.
Yep.
And the doctor's like, what the fuck did you just do?
Yeah, they surrendered and left.
Yeah. So she shot them with their back turned.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I've kind of debated with people about this topic right at the end here, where, you know, she says the doctor isn't always around.
Yeah, we've got to be able to defend it. We can't count on you.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched two people die in front of me while you were taking a nap.
And the doctor kind of lectures her about it and says, you know, he should have stopped her. You know,
we're here, you know, we have to take care of these alien threats.
Yeah.
And I like how she starts to turn it on him and goes,
Are you an alien threat?
An alien threat?
Yeah, but
I'd hate for something to happen to that little blue box of yours.
He doesn't really mess around.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, well, I can take you down.
With one word. And then he's like, no.
Six words. So he just kind of goes over to the guy and is like, don't you think she looks tired?
I like how he just kind of,
And she says, what did he say?
Yeah, she's like, what did he say? What did he say? Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah,
really. So I don't know whether he was just lying, like, to embarrass her.
It was just some little.
It was like a subliminal thing.
Yeah, it was just so casual. He really didn't say anything.
Yeah, because he knew this guy was going to be briefed on everything that happened, you know? And if you would probably recall, okay, well, what did the doctor say? Tell us everything he said. So this guy's being, you know, debriefed on the situation. He's going to mention that. So they're going to take it into consideration.
I don't even think he's going to mention that, though. I mean, he's just like, no, he didn't really say anything.
He just might mention it to somebody.
But then he's
going to
be looking at her, and he's like, don't you think she does look kind of tired, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And now it's in their head. And now there's two people going, do you think she looks tired?
Yeah.
No, she has been kind of, you know, because this takes a lot out
of
you.
And they tell two friends, and they tell two friends,
and they tell one,
and so on, and so on. And so, do you think that she was right to do that?
To blow them up?
Yeah.
No. Not with the doctor standing right there.
Well,
if the doctor wasn't there, then I would have said, blow them all to hell.
So, because she got caught, then she was wrong.
No, but the doctor's there. He fixed it.
I'm not going to say if it was right or wrong. I sort of, I can understand her reasoning.
Yes.
You know? And it's not a right or wrong. It's a thing of, you know, being able to handle a situation on your own. It's like, they can't always depend on him.
I guess not so much right or wrong as, do you agree with her?
Well, when we watch other spinoff shows.
I mean, it's like, do you agree on the atomic bomb being dropped on Hiroshima or Nagasaki? You know,
it saved lives, but then it's this, and then it's that.
Right.
You know.
And, I mean, personally, I do agree with her decision in this case, because if the doctor hadn't woken up right when he did,
everybody would be dead.
Yeah, everybody would be dead. You never know what was going to happen. And if Rose didn't wake him up too early before he healed, you know, they would have been dead. He would have been dead. And the whole planet would have been fucked.
Yes.
You know, so with the doctor's not around, they do have to defend themselves. Yeah. So I've always kind of sided on her position a little bit on this one.
I think it was a little harsh to take down. I think it was harsh of her to shoot people in the back that were leaving.
Yeah. And here's the other thing, too, is that this is like, it seems like this is their primary weapon. This is their big gun.
Yeah.
It seems like they shouldn't have used that unless they really needed to.
Right.
Like, don't reveal the big weapon until you need to use it, you know?
Once Torchwood was ready, and the doctor wasn't helping, and the big turd ship was floating over London, shoot it.
I mean, they probably should have shot it much earlier in the episode.
Well, it took them a while to get it ready. It wasn't ready.
Yeah, okay,
it wasn't
ready.
The A-positive Torchwood people were up on the roof.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the guy who knows how to turn on the laser was one of them. They've got one guy who knows the one switch.
The guy with the codes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so again, like all of the, you know, other aliens out there, they don't know that's the biggest gun.
Yeah.
They just know it's a gun that we have.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean.
But now, my thing is, I don't agree with
her. She's a gambler.
She shot them as they were leaving. If she had brought Torchwood online and shot them while, you know, this was all going on, fine. But the doctor already fixed it, and they were leaving. And then he goes into his whole speech of, you know what? I shouldn't have, you know, told them to leave. I should have told them to run.
Run, yeah. The big bad monster's coming. Yeah,
yeah, because the humans are the monsters that infect the galaxy, that bring destruction.
They're smallpox blankets.
Pretty much, yeah. Much like Europe did to the rest of the world with colonization, much like America did with our age of exploration, wipe out everything. And that's what humanity does when it goes to space.
Yeah.
If you watch Doctor Who. Or Star Trek.
Yeah.
Or pretty much any science fiction where Earth is victorious. But then, so, now it's Christmas.
And it's snowing. Oh, yeah. But it's not snow.
Oh, no.
Because it's not cold and it disintegrates like burnt material when you touch it.
Hey, this is... It smells like Sycorax.
Deal with cigarette ashes.
Oh, it's low tar. Marlboro Lights. Anyway, so yeah, it's all snowing ash.
Yep.
And the doctor and Rose are like, oh, so where are we gonna go next? Let's go that way, Doctor. They're all romantic and looking at the stars.
Uh huh.
Yeah. That's about it.
Yep.
So
really, Jackie saved the day.
With the tea. Yeah.
Because she being knew, a traditional, she knew the mystical properties of tea.
Yeah.
Then the doctor should have wrote an album when he first came back with that. Lonely Darts Club Band.
And, you know, between his outfit and the tea and... The spaceship reminded me a little bit of a Vogon ship.
Okay.
There was a lot of Hitchhiker's Guide references.
Arthur Dent apparently is a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's the doctor, you know, comments on being in the pajamas and the, mm-hmm. and the robe and says something about being all Arthur Dent style. And now there's a, you know, nice chap, Arthur Dent, you know, so he knows Arthur Dent.
Yes. And, you know, I noticed that this whole episode, there was a lot of little... references, I felt like.
Little Easter eggs?
Yeah, like not so much Easter eggs, but here's my thought about it, because I guess we could just go ahead and start talking about like what we thought about the episode.
Okay.
Even watching it now with knowing what happened and knowing what happens afterwards, this is still not really one of my favorite episodes.
Okay.
Like, I feel like this is whole, it's kind of just set up for the doctor, and they just kind of used... kind of traditional sci-fi things, references to carry the regeneration of the doctor and this whole character building story, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
Like, okay, they've got all the Hitchhiker's Guide references. There was a lot of like little Star Wars and like, I felt like the Sycorax were very Star Trek characters. Like even the way they looked,
they would have been out of place on Star Trek.
Right.
Okay.
And I just felt like it, I don't know, the story itself was kind of lazy.
I don't think so. It's a regeneration episode. It's a Christmas invasion.
Right. No, so, I know.
And this is the first, I guess, problems in London on Christmas. No, this is the second time. Because Rose was at Christmas too, wasn't it?
No.
No?
That was after Christmas.
Okay, so the Autons in London wasn't Christmas
remember.
Season?
I cannot remember.
I don't think it was Christmas.
No, it had been closer to Easter when it was broadcast.
Right. I can't remember. It seems like you would have seen something with Christmas if it was a Christmas episode.
So this was the first time Christmas in London is a dangerous prospect.
Yeah. And, you know, really, it to me, it didn't introduce David Tennant as a character to me.
Right.
And because it didn't start off very strong... It took me a long time to get used to him as the doctor.
And see, though, for me, it was a thing where I'm used to regeneration episodes and the doctor being really out of commission for his episode. Like, I just watched the Peter Davison episode again, where he regenerates from Tom Baker. Mm-hmm. And he was out of it for most of the time. He had to be, you know, asleep in the zero room where they put him in the zero box and carry him around. So he was out of commission for a lot of it. And I kind of got that sense from this, too, where, you know, he wasn't a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, much like Peter Davison, they filmed it out of order.
Oh, did they?
Yes. They filmed his second episode first and his regeneration episode, so he's had time to play the part in a full episode, so he gets the character down before he does him, you know, for 15 or 20 minutes of screen time that he actually does.
Interesting.
Okay.
So, well, Darryl, what'd you think?
Well, definitely, it wasn't my favorite episode, but I didn't think it was bad. Mm-hmm. I definitely wasn't turned off by it. Yeah, there were, like, a lot of, you know, parts of the story that were borrowed, but I sort of like that. I mm-hmm. sort of like, you know, it was kind of like Christmas.
Oh, I get that.
Some of my favorite things wrapped
yeah.
in together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a big Christmas present, you know?
No, I got to say this. Even when I'm critical of a Doctor Who episode, 99% of the time, if I say I don't like it, it's just that I don't like it as much as other Doctor Who episodes.
Yeah. Right. You still like it in comparison to everything else.
To most other television programs, I still like it better than other shows. It's, mm-hmm. So it's not like I don't like
it.
So
even bad Doctor Who is good.
Right. It's like pizza or sex. Even when it's not as good, it's
still
good.
Okay.
Yeah. I love what they say, even when it's bad, it's still good, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I've had some really bad pizza.
I was thinking, saying I had some pizza that I would never, ever want to touch again.
Yeah.
Same with sex.
I thought that was the analogy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. So, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about Doctor Who. There's one particular episode that's coming up.
Yes, this season.
That
you spitefully
hate.
I
skip over. I have watched once. And I'm sure most people who've seen it know exactly what I'm talking about.
I think most people who've ever met you and talked about Doctor Who mm-hmm. in real life or online know exactly what episode. Because you make no bones about the fact that you hate that episode.
But I've also mentioned to people who were just getting into the show, I'm like, the show is great except for one episode and you'll know it when you see it. And like when we got our friend Tommy V into the show and he sends me a text right after he saw it and he says... the name of the show. And I'm like, what the hell are you even talking? I mean, it was just randomly in the middle of nothing. And he goes, that's the show that you said is awful. And I agree with you. And I'm like, yeah, that's the one.
But this wasn't a bad one. This was,
no. I mean, it's in terms of Doctor Who,
it's not the best Doctor Who ever, but at the same time, it's not the worst Doctor Who ever.
No,
and it was pretty good. Also for, someone who was new to the show altogether, who didn't, you know, see the previous season, it kind of gave you a general feel of a lot of the characters.
I thought it was good.
And if you're new to Doctor Who, like if all you've watched is new Doctor Who,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
this is a great thing because he's explained regeneration.
Yeah.
You've got the new actor, so I mean, you've reintroduced everybody,
right?
You get some of the character dynamics, like the whole thing between Mickey and Rose.
Yeah.
The thing between the Doctor and Jackie, how they have that argumentative, but she's still, you know, you're taking care of my daughter thing.
Mm-hmm.
So all that's there in this one episode. So that's kind of a lot to jam in there.
Yeah.
Especially when one of the main characters is asleep for 90% of the
episode. Right.
In somebody else's pajamas.
Filled with fruit.
I wonder if he's wearing his underwear too.
Fruit-filled pajamas.
Oh,
saving my gym jams. And Jack wasn't even in the
episode.
Look,
it's a banana.
No, it's not. Oh, sorry.
Anyway.
I wish I hadn't tried to peel that.
There's a lot of extra skin on the top of this thing.
No, it's not.
Anyway.
So
I think we're done.
Yep.
We're
and done. Other than thanking Darryl for being on the show this week, we'd also like to thank Darryl for making our awesome theme song.
Yay!
And we thank Darryl every week because we love the theme song that much.
Yes.
And Daryl, I guess we can find your blog over at flyingmonkeymotogear.com.
Mm-hmm. You got it right first time.
I get it right a lot.
She got just, it right like a couple of times.
She cuts me off to make me not get it right.
Yeah. You kept saying motor gear. It's
on
not
like
motor
the first
gear.
Two episodes.
No.
I say moto.
Anyway. You can find us online at facebook.com/playingdoctor.
Or playingdoctorpodcast.com.
Oh, yeah.
Our actual website where people can go and you can listen to the show, find links to, flyingmonkeymotogear.com and other friends of the show. You can find links to our iTunes.
Mm-hmm. And we're now on Stitcher also, so you can listen to us live.
We have a link
online.
To Stitcher.
Please. We're also on Twitter at Playing Doctors.
Google Plus, gplus.to/playingdoctor.
Yeah. And our phone number is 434-993-TIME, which is 434-993-8463. And you can give us feedback on the show. You can talk about an upcoming show that you want us to, you know, put your comments on or whatever.
And if you leave a message, it very well may end up on the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you go on iTunes, please leave us a rating and review and all that kind of stuff, because that helps us get up in the ratings and
wrap it up.
Makes us feel special.
The outro is longer than the actual show itself. TARDIS is here.
You need a wrap it up button.
I'm at Reality Muck on Twitter. You're
at Jenny_Z.
All right, and we will see everybody next week.
Bye. Peace out, mother bitches.
Merry Christmas.
How?